During the recent global financial crisis, much government money has been thrown in stimulus packages at infrastructure projects. The question remains, does such spending genuinely strengthen the economy? Would investment in research and development provide a better long-term payoff? Does it matter where government spending goes? Is it better to invest in space, science, medicine, or the environment? These are some of the issues raised in today's episode of our Space Show coverage of the public hearings of the Moon, Mars and Beyond Commission. In 2004 May, long before the current financial crisis erupted, the Commission investigated the conditions needed for space prosperity and resource development. The Commission was chaired by Pete Aldridge, a veteran with 42 years' experience in aerospace technology leadership. At one point, he even trained as a military astronaut. He introduced the first of three witnesses at this New York hearing.
Asperity and competitiveness is one of the four major themes that we've been addressing. And we're pleased today to have three individuals who will shed some light on how space exploration can contribute to national prosperity and what specific models might be used to stimulate private investment. First, John Higginbotham is the founder, chairman, and CEO of SpaceVest. He was formerly co-founder, director, and senior vice president of International Technology Underwriters, INTEC, a space and telecommunications insurance underwriting management company, and before that was project manager for Hewlett-Packard's company's global entry into the microcomputer industry in the early 1980s. Mr. Higginbotham is also the current chairman of the Space Foundation. We welcome our panel, and I guess Joel or John, you're first.
Why don't you proceed, if you care to, Mr. Chairman. First of all, let me thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, for this opportunity. I wish to first qualify that the statements that I'll make are my own and not necessarily the organizations with which I'm affiliated, unless, of course, you find them useful, in which case they will want full credit and attribution on a going-forward basis with all right, title, and interest there, too. I thought first we'd start, if I could have the first slide, please. I have supplied, for your benefit, some notations to these PowerPoint slides, which you can read on your own. I thought, for today's purpose, we could just quickly go through them. I thought it useful to first lay a context of to what, in our vernacular, we believe this industry to be. The space industry itself, of course, includes not only the traditional public sector activities, but has built a robust commercial application and technology platform presence in the American economy. There have been many studies done over the last few years that suggest that this industry is well north of $100 billion a year. If you include the commercial side, that's roughly half of that number. That has spawned very successful undertakings in areas like satellite broadcasting, telecommunications, information technologies, and many other sectors. So I would suggest, as you have your deliberations, it'd be useful to reflect on the breadth and nature of the industry. I would also point out that, of course, the technologies that are developed historically in a space program and that are clearly forecasted to be developed in this initiative represent potentially very exciting technologies. And if we look historically what this program has produced, there have been any number of studies about the value of spinoffs. Some suggest in excess of $1.5 trillion to the American economy. I would submit to you that on any measure, the economic benefits associated with this initiative more than justify the public expenditure that's being discussed to carry this off. And I think there's a robust amount of data that can support that. That having been said, if we go to the next slide, please, it's important to crystallize the nature of these benefits on a going forward basis and be able to communicate them clearly to not only the general public, but the marketplace as well. That communication has been difficult in the past. The stovepipe nature, Commissioner Walker, that you were referencing earlier today, we see that phenomenon occur in the understanding and development of the statistics associated with this industry. So if you look at the ability to communicate what this industry really means to the average person or the marketplace, we've been somewhat hampered by the lack of a comprehensive perspective of the industry. Even in our own business, many institutional market investors out there that are not familiar with the industry still perceive what we do in a very narrow context, not realizing that we're impacting essentially every economic sector from an investment perspective. So I would suggest one task that be undertaken is to commission a comprehensive model, perhaps under the sponsorship of the Department of Commerce to give its focus, that would pull comprehensively and cooperatively among all the various agencies, utilizing the capabilities of some leading research organizations out there, like Space Foundation, some of the Beltway consultants, what have you, with an objective of trying to get a common perspective on what the real value and real benefits of this undertaking could mean for the American public. From that, we could develop very targeted messages, whether it's to the general public, the capital markets, wherever a message may need to be conveyed, that is backed up, if you will, by a very clear and demonstrable understanding in a lexicon that we all agree we can use for this purpose. I can't tell you enough how important it is for our purposes, for the general public, to have a clear understanding of the breadth of this industry and be able to communicate it clearly. When I say communicate it clearly, I'm saying use the media houses that are out there that are expert in developing communications in a more robust way than we've done. Next slide, please. In these messages, we need to address some misperceptions and miscommunications. We hear a lot of discussion occur in the public sector and the media that, you know, it's government programs and launch vehicles is what this industry is about. We, all of us in this room sitting here, know that is not the case, and we need to be able to communicate much better the real benefits that this is delivering today as we speak to every person in this room and every person on this planet. We're just not doing that effectively, and for that reason, people, though they like space, they haven't found the compelling immediacy of getting behind these kinds of initiatives. That's not their fault, that's our fault in being unable to communicate to them the very important nature and pervasive nature of the capabilities of this industry in their lives every day. We need to do a better job of that. That will spill over to the capital markets. There, even within the initiated community, those of us that have been in this industry our whole lives, there's a perception that capital markets have been somewhat standoffish from this industry. Nothing could be further from the truth. And the reason is, let's look back and see, you know, the funding of the LEO communications ventures. Billions of dollars with disastrous results. There was no government bailout there. So this industry is willing to take a risk. Flip side is, the industry has underwritten, you know, very successful undertakings like the broadcast satellite entrance out there, a number of the remote sensing players, GIS. So you have decades of investment that has gone into this industry from the private capital markets. On the insurance side, the underpinnings of the capital markets that allows the debt and equity houses to risk this type of hard-earned capital has been there for at least two decades. And we're talking literally billions of dollars per year. So a perception that the capital markets are not or have not been investing in this industry is just false. Even on the venture side, we have the privilege of being able to bring focus to the industry. In SpaceFest Second Fund, which is a vintage year 99 fund, we've had just under 200 co-investors of other venture capital groups, household names, names that you read about every day in the newspapers, that have co-invested in space-related undertakings with us. A number of them are even now on their own initiatives starting to get involved and really starting to track some of the companies and technologies. So you have a groundswell of capability that has emerged. Now, these investors don't invest in stunts or projects. They'll invest in businesses. So I think as you look forward, we need to discuss a little bit about what does it take to create the framework for these investors to invest in businesses in a sustainable way. Next slide, please. I'll take a little bit of liberty here and go beyond perceived expertise, having dealt with this industry in many different venues over the last almost 40 years, believe it or not. It seems to me that in order to have a sustainable undertaking, there really needs to be some hard decisions made here. And this is not with respect to any one agency. It's very easy to look upon just one civilian agency. What we're really talking here is a national undertaking, where we need to take a hard look at the assets and agencies that are all involved in the space industry, and there are many of them, as you know, and really think through the roles and responsibilities, making some hard decisions as to how that's going to happen. I was very encouraged by some of the comments I heard earlier this morning that this commission is looking at that issue. And I think those of us, you know, you go off public air in our afternoon conversations and during break, you hear this almost unanimously from the leaders in the industry that a real relook of how we've organized and how we need to reorganize and redefine is necessary to have some confidence that we can pull this off. I think there is a cultural issue here that we need to examine for this industry. The industry has done a very good job of eating its young. It's done a very good job of avoiding innovation in many fronts. It's done a very good job of keeping things in a somewhat provincial environment. And I think if we really want to embrace the innovation and entrepreneurial spirit that drives our economy and every other sector, we need to kind of reflect on our culture in this industry. And I don't think that's just a government issue. I think it's an industry issue. Really think more out of the box, less invented here kind of arrogance, and frankly look into new areas of skill centers that can be brought into this equation. I was encouraged to hear we have, you know, a perspective from the Army on a traditionally non-Army environment. That's the right approach to start to bring in new ideas, new leadership, new thinking. Integrate that, prioritize the outcome in a comprehensive and collaborative way, and we might just have a chance of rebuilding some confidence, not only in the private capital markets, but the general public as well. Looking to the next slide, you know, how do we execute this? We've got to find and motivate the leadership. We spend our lives in the venture capital world, a non-zero percentage of our time trying to think through the management talent, the skill sets that we need to execute an undertaking. That know-how is out there. This industry is in competition with that know-how, to get that know-how and to get that leadership. We need to start thinking competitively vis-a-vis the biotech industry or the semiconductor industry or non-U.S. undertakings, and really change the game, where we're focused on workforce development, we're focused on building the kind of incentives that we heard about this morning to bring the large institutional participation into it, even from the non-traditional players, attract the innovators, and not just attract them, but empower them. I don't know how many small companies that I've seen over the last 25 years have blunted their pick on this process, trying to bring some innovation into the system just to be dispelled and turned away. Lots of promises of ultimate incorporation and ultimately disappointed. And there's been literally dozens of examples in every sector of this industry, whether it's launch systems, small satellites, new types of programs. We need to find a way to integrate and empower and protect these innovators. And lastly, I think it's critically important to integrate the non-traditional skill centers. This should be integrated at a programmatic level, not an ad hoc level. I don't know how many times you'll get some kind of program or command stood up, and then after it's stood up and all the planning's done, oh, by the way, we should go talk to somebody in the financial industry or academia. By then, it's too late. And, you know, you've set a course and objectives and an organizational structure that cannot change easily at that point. to integrate new thinking. So this non-traditional skill center needs to be brought in at the very first step. Next chart, please. Foster and use the commercial capabilities. This sounds like an easy statement, one that we would all buy into. To execute that takes some hard decisions. It means really looking at core versus non-core functions, spin off, outsource, privatize the non-core functions. Bring focus back into the equation so that the organizations and agencies that are charged with a mission are focused on that mission and not getting distracted by a lot of ancillary or non-core activity. On the design front, I mean, how many times do we have to reinvent a launch vehicle? I mean, we've done it, you know, very efficiently multiple times over the last 40 years. Let's do some performance trade-offs, buy commercially, for the non-critical items. Clearly, for human flight safety, you have to keep tight controls and requirements. But basically outside of that, you can relax some of the performance requirements, take advantage of commercial capabilities, speed up the process. What will that do? It will create a market, it will reduce barriers for innovation, and it will allow costs to be more commercially based as opposed to non-commercially based. Final statement there is develop only that which you can't sell or borrow. You can't buy, sell, or borrow. That's the fundamental watchword. Last chart, please. Creating and capturing the technology value. We have spent a lot of time and money in this country over the last 20 or 30 years trying to figure out the technology transfer process. It is not a technology transfer process. It's a business creation process. At the end of the day, the skill sets that are expert in creating businesses from technology platforms are not resident in agencies that are focused on deep space. Their mission is space. It's not business. Somehow we need to integrate at the same level. And let me say this. The skill sets necessary to take a technology, turn it into a product, take a product and figure out how to sell it to a customer, create the organizations and management teams that can do all that very efficiently and ultimately profitably is just as hard as going to Moon or Mars. It's a very difficult process. The skill sets required are very different than one finds in the technology or infrastructure development world. We need to access those non-traditional skill centers much more efficiently than we have. It's essentially been an ad hoc process to date. Integrate it right up front in a programmatic way. If we can do that, we can use business capabilities. Licensing royalties are a part of business every day. Property rights, assets, valuations occur every day in business. Profits, at the end of the day, if they come from this, will do three very interesting things. It will give the resources to train people, build products, and sustain the effort. So if there's any fundamental message you can take from this, it's that if we can integrate the business development function programmatically into this equation, and that is by definition outside these agencies, then we have a reasonable chance of capturing this value. Last point on a personal note, feel pretty strongly about this. I watched Dad contribute to the first paragraph, and I watched my children thinking about the second paragraph. I feel very strongly that this industry has been a major contributor to the technology underpinning of this country and ultimately its security. This initiative has the opportunity to recapture the imaginations of ourselves and our children. Let's do it right this time. Thank you.
At the Moon, Mars, and Beyond Commission, the topic has been how to create the conditions needed for space prosperity and resource development. The speaker was John Higginbotham, the chairman of the company called SpaceVest. In our next Moon and Mars and Beyond special, we'll hear other views on this topic. This series was written by Andrew Rennie with using audio provided by the Commission and digitally transferred to Australia and Southern FM by Alan Walker. You're listening to The Space Show.